Talking today with Heather Buckmaster from the Oklahoma Beef Council. Heather, let's talk about several things. First of all, let's talk about the export market. I know October 1 is the start of your new fiscal year at the Beef Council. And for this fiscal year that we've entered into now, a couple of 3 months into it, you and your commissioners, your board members made a conscious decision that you were going to put more resources internationally.
Absolutely. We made the decision actually in fiscal year 2012. We made the decision for a couple of reasons. One, the declining buying power of the beef checkoff. Today, the beef checkoff has about 50% of the buying power it did in 1987. So we were looking for ways to really leverage and stretch those dollars as effectively and efficiently as we possibly could. And then second, we recognize that 96% of the world's population lives outside of the United States, so there's great opportunity. And then third, honestly, the export market was adding significant value to the bottom line of our farmers and ranchers, as an example, about $200 a head to the price of fed cattle. So we felt like there was outstanding opportunity in the export market for Oklahoma beef checkoff dollars.
Where have you actually placed some of these additional resources?
Well, first of all, we've invested in Japan in a retail promotion. The U.S. Meat Export Federation was able to leverage our dollars with a Japanese retailer that has 174 outlets. And we talk about leverage. For every dollar we invested, they invested $5. And that was a month-long promotion that included everything from sampling to the normal media. But it resulted in a 14% increase in U.S. beef sales for that month-long promotion, which in 174 stores is a significant growth rate. Another place that we're looking at that we invested this past year, it sounds kind of a little unusual, but it was with in-store demos and sampling in the United Arab Emirates with a retailer. And the Middle East is really becoming a growing destination for U.S. beef. They like a lot of some of the beef cuts that are a little bit more that we don't eat as much. They love liver, for instance, in Egypt, and we're happy to send them lots of liver. But in the United Arab Emirates, with that promotion, one of the things it did was also raise awareness to other retailers of the impact that U.S. beef could have on their retail sales if they brought it in.
I know that you mentioned the Japanese market. We're still waiting. We don't know when it's going to happen, but we know eventually they're going to go to a 30-month standard, which means a lot more of our U.S. beef will be available for that market, and that gives us a lot more opportunities to work with retailers like you were working with.
Absolutely. I think what we need to understand and what cattlemen would need to understand is because of that 20-month rule, what it meant is that retailers and food service operators in Japan really couldn't depend upon a consistent supply. Most months, only about 15% of U.S. beef would qualify for the market, sometimes as high as 25%. But when we go to 30 months, and I'm saying when, not if, but when it goes to 30 months, I'm hopeful, it means 95% of U.S. beef would be marketable in the Japanese marketplace, which is huge for us, absolutely huge.
Of course, they love our beef.
They love our beef. It's a very high our beef is a high value item for them, but it's also more affordable than their local product, and so they absolutely love our beef. And we're hopeful. We've actually Oklahoma Beef Council has made an additional commitment to U.S. Meat Export Federation that if we are able to get in, we put a deadline on it. We didn't want to leave it out there indefinitely, but we would provide additional dollars for the push when they go into the marketplace.
Okay. Let's talk domestically, if we might. I know that one of the ways that the checkoff nationally has decided to go is to try to reach more of some of our consumers today with information on the Internet. Tell me about a couple of these websites that are now available.
We have one website that was new in fiscal year 2012. It's located at factsaboutbeef.com. And it's a website aimed at being an online hub of information regarding the latest in beef industry issues. So, for instance, if they see a story on the New York Times that has been picked up potentially by network television, that there would be a place where we could send consumers to find out more information and really see the entire picture of what the story is. But it also addressed common myths about beef and beef production, because there are so many. It seems like sometimes every time I turn around, there's another little myth that's just kind of slipped into the public consciousness. And so we're really working to address those myths and hopefully at least give people another place that they can go look for other information, and that's factsaboutbeef.com. And one of the things that's great about the website is you can sign up for alerts on the website. So anytime content is updated, you'll be the first to know.
I know that earlier this year, obviously, we had a very rapidly developing situation with the lean, fine textured beef. That type of an event can develop so quickly, and I know that these type of websites are important because of that.
Absolutely, this is actually part of a multimedia social media response. And one of the things that we learned coming out of LFTB was that we needed some place that would both link into from Twitter and would link into the website, so that we were able to post that information through Twitter and direct people to the website. And so really this website was already coming into process, but the development of it moved forward more quickly once this happened.
Heather, let's talk about one more thing, and that's the fact that we're in the holiday season. Mm-hmm. Between Thanksgiving and Christmas, lots of family dinners, lots of folks are celebrating one way or the other, and there's more than turkey and chicken out, or turkey and ham out there.
Absolutely. We hope everybody serves beef for the Christmas meal, and we have a great website through the Beef Checkoff. It's beefiswhatsfordinner.com. Absolutely wonderful website. It has great cooking tips, great holiday roast recipes at really all price points. And then for those that are a little bit more cooking challenged, there's wonderful online how-to videos. So if you want to know how to cook a tenderloin, they'll show you how to cook a tenderloin. So there's some great information there. And I would encourage – oh, and then I would also let you know that from a Facebook perspective, we have a wonderful Facebook page for beefitswhatsfordinner.com, but it's on Facebook nationally, and we have more than 500,000 fans on the website now.
You've mentioned Facebook, Twitter, YouTube effectively with the videos, mm-hmm. as well as the website. Social media is really starting to be a way that we can reach a lot of consumers.
Absolutely. And one of the things I see, and I look at it from a YouTube perspective, is that we always kind of talk about how we have this younger generation that doesn't know how to cook, didn't have classes like we did home ec. And I look at the growth of YouTube as being a wonderful opportunity, because if I want to know something, how to do something now, I literally go to YouTube. And so this younger generation is just accustomed to looking on YouTube to find out how to do things. So I think in the future we have wonderful opportunity through YouTube to show people how to cook beef. They may be at the grocery store, they don't know how to cook something, but they can go on YouTube and watch the video and know how to cook it. So I think we've got great opportunity for education.